What's up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Game Cast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hey, everybody.
And you might notice that we sound a little different. Well, actually, I don't know if we do. I can't hear myself because of various reasons. I cut the grass today, and I hadn't cut it in a while, so it was really high. And my allergies and the fact that I'm allergic to grass and everything is making my nose do all these weird things. And so if I sound funny, I apologize. We're just gonna have to get through it.
If I sound funny, I don't apologize, though. I'm just like that.
He's like, just gonna deal with it.
You guys just gotta have to deal with it. I know I sound funny, everybody, because my tongue is swollen. I'm pretty sure it's because I'm dehydrated. I don't know if anybody else gets that, but I do know that that's one of my signs of being dehydrated, that my mouth kind of like stops working. And clearly, your muscles can lock up if you don't drink enough water, and your tongue is one of the strongest muscles in your body, and that goes first for me. So I need to drink some water. So if you hear glug, 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 that's me.
Yes,
And I don't apologize because I'm the one in pain here.
I'm gonna need you to sip something real quick while we jump into this week's cast. So, if you can't tell by the title, this week is all about Lovecraft Country. But before we get into that, we did want to talk a little bit about some things that's been happening. I know the GamesCon thing happened today. And there was a lot of gaming news and all this other good stuff. The opening night show with Jeff Keighley. And from what I saw, it was cool. They showed a lot of good stuff. They showed a little bit of the new Call of Duty and stuff like that. And there was some brief introductions to new games that were coming out. Most of the information was about older games that, or not older games, but games we already knew that were coming. Or games that have been out for a while, like for instance Destiny 2. We saw the new expansion, World of Warcraft got a new expansion, things of that nature, right? And so, great time for fun. Unfortunately, I couldn't enjoy it completely, or rather much of it at all, because of the things that are going around in the world right now. Like things are still upside down, and I don't mean with the coronavirus. So because of that, my feed on my timeline was wrapped around video games, racism, recent shootings, and things of that nature. And so I wanted to kind of address something real quick. If you've been going to our website, you notice that there's been reviews going up. I want to say the last one we went up was the remake of Destroy All Humans. We have Fall Guys coming, which is going to be written by me. And we just got a review code for Project Cars 3 from Bandai Namco, so that's gonna be going up soon as well. So reviews and stuff are still going up, but no news. And the reason is I usually head all the news on our site, and a weird thing has been happening with me when it comes to news. Typically, or at least what I hear from other people is that the regular news is so, damning. Like it's just so bad all the time that the game news is like a relief. Like, oh, there's something new and positive. Yay, video games. And for the most part, that's kind of what it was early on in the year. Something bad would happen. I'm like, oh, look, a new video game. Animal Crossing, for instance. I OD'd on Animal Crossing. So I totally get it, right? However, the opposite has been happening for me, where I hear about, Call of Duty coming out. I'm a big Call of Duty fan. We've gotten review codes like every year for it, so I'm personally looking forward to getting a review code so we can review it. At the same time, these announcements just feel super insignificant to me because of what's going on. I don't see it as a plus or as a kind of like with my anime and the TV shows that I've been watching, where there's like I'm getting away from reality. I feel like the good news that I'm getting doesn't land the way it should, because right after that I hear about a shooting, or right after that I hear about, a person that drove miles to go shoot people, like to shoot protesters and things of that nature, like the craziness there. So it does the opposite. And what happens is I don't want to write it. I do not want to write it. And I've been dealing with this for a while because I would muster up a little bit of I don't even know. And I would go and write some news because it needs to go up on the site, and you want to keep it active and whatnot. But I want to say it was like a few days ago where I was like, I'm not doing this. Like, I knew Gamescom was coming. I knew there was going to be a lot of video game stuff. And I was like, I don't want to write it because I just feel like it's insignificant, so much so to my life being a black person right now, that I feel like I'm doing my brain a disservice writing it. And I get it. For anybody else, it's an outlet. It's a way to, leave, this plane of existence for a little while. You can dive into a video game and just whatever. I totally get that. And I even do that here or there. But in terms of writing the news, like the information that's coming to me, I just feel like I don't care enough to put words to a, well, not a paper, but digitally put words on a screen. Because it just, not that it rubs me the wrong way, and not that I don't think that, developers and publishers should stop, telling us about their games. I don't think that. I just feel personally that, we just had a person, a black man was shot 7 times in the back, and regardless of how you feel or how he got to that point, the fact of the matter is it's another shooting among a ton of other shootings, and it doesn't sit well with me. And hearing about PlayStation 5, Crash, not Crash, yeah, Crash Bandicoot and Ratchet and Clank and all this other stuff, yeah, it's good, but it doesn't make me want to write about it. So that's why there's been no news on the site for a while. There will be news in, hopefully, in the near future. The site isn't dead or anything, but that's why we've been sticking to reviews and sticking to things that kind of post every once in a while. And then, shows like this, because this is more freeing because I can talk, versus writing about something that I don't, I care about it, but I don't. Hopefully that makes sense.
It does make sense to me.
Yeah, it's been super rough. And, whether it's problems with sleeping or problems with just dealing with things, in terms of being able to articulate how I feel, all of it's rough. And then not being able to go see people, so on top of it. So it's like, yeah, I feel a way about the news that's coming in. And like I said, that's no knock. All the, PR who sends me emails about their games, continue to do so. I'm not ignoring you, or I'm not, you're not making me angry by flooding my emails with this stuff. It's just, I'm just explaining why I feel the way right now. So, yeah.
No, but I understand you a lot. I'm right there with you because, I mean, like, this is Thursday night, but on Wednesday nights I was in group for the last several weeks. I know I told you a little bit about it, but basically, we had to do, me and a group of friends had to do like this self-care thing because of what's been going on in our lives has just been so compounded and multi-layered. And every couple of weeks, we're hashtagging about another black person who was killed by the hands of police or at the hand of some racist idiot who wants to be a vigilante or some nonsense. And it's just too much. It's a lot for, us to really. To really process and go through our daily lives and under quarantine or not having a job or finally working again or all kinds of stuff. It's really, really a lot. And a lot of other things in the world that we used to go to for entertainment or just things just are so minute. They're minuscule. They don't mean nothing anymore. And that really goes on to the other things that are happening right now with a lot of athletes and whole teams saying they're not playing. It's the same thing. And even though it's your bread and butter, even though it's like, hey, this is what I do, I really don't want to do it right now because it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It's so meaningless. Human lives are being lost. I don't have the wherewithal to review something that we use to distract ourselves because right now we need to not be distracted. we need to be focused on what's occurring and addressing the problem and fixing it. So, you know, reviewing a video game or talking about some future release in December about a new game console that might cost us $1,000 is honestly the furthest from our minds, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. So I, you know, if going forward, hopefully you still check out the site. And there's some other things that I'm not going to share right now, dealing with personal changes that I'm going to be making. I was hoping to make this year. It seems to be, maybe it's accelerated because of the world's on fire. I don't know, but I'm going to be talking about that probably here, later this year. But for the most part, that's what's been going on. Now, not to contradict myself, we're going to talk about something that has nothing to do with nothing, in the sense of a show. Now, and, you know, there's a difference because this show is the outlet that happens here is a little bit different than getting news about a game, right? Like I have to do work and I have to put my brain and, you know, be creative, you know, my verbiage and all this other stuff. Whereas a show, I can just kind of relax. I can watch and then I can come, you know, hang out with my friends and we can talk about it. So slightly different. But we want to talk about Lovecraft Country, which, similar to the other shows we've been talking about recently, can be a little triggering. Given the it's dealing with racism, and as well as, you know, monsters and such, but yeah, it can be a little triggering. So if you haven't watched Lovecraft Country and you don't want to watch anything dealing with racism because of what's going on, I totally understand. You don't want to hear about it. Cool.
Yeah,
totally get it. Everybody else though, I need you to come over here, sit down and listen, because I think it's a dope show. Dope show. So, I guess a little bit about the show. It's on HBO. It's based on a book, the same name, Lovecraft Country, that was written by, I believe, Matt Ruff. I believe that's how you say his last name. And it deals with racism in the South. And if for people who don't know, there was these towns that you would go to, or actually you would stay out of. They're called sundown towns, where you would, you know, if you're black, you don't want to be there when the sun goes down. And our particular group of people are traveling around these areas for two reasons. One of them is the main character. He's looking for his father. His father's been missing. He's played by Jonathan Majors. His name is Atticus Freeman. Shout out to Freeman. he's looking for his father. His father's been missing for some time. And he gets a cryptic note. When he gets back from the, I believe from service, and his father's telling about his mother and his mother's heritage. And apparently there's some, I guess, otherworldly stuff going on. And he has to go try to find his father. His uncle, played by Courtney B. Vance, dope actor. He actually goes around and he makes the books,
the Green Book.
There you go. The Green Book. And essentially tells you which towns to go to, which towns are safe, places you can stay, that are, you know, they're black people friendly, if you will. And he also tells you places to avoid, like this particular stretch of road you do not want to be on when the sun goes down. And these two men are accompanied by their friend Letty, who is played by
Journey Smollett.
There you go, Journey Smollett. Who's freaking awesome as well. And while they're going through, you know, looking for his father, what you come to understand is that the world is love is they're in a Lovecraftian world. And for those who don't know, Lovecraft, it deals with otherworldly monsters that come into our world, and they make people go insane. And the more people that go insane, it gives the god of that world power, and he's able to bleed more into our world, the more insane you get. There's different, obviously there's different, you know, kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, people pulled their own, you know, they pulled their, like, you know, their own information and made their own stories out of it, which is kind of what happens here with Lovecraft Country. Now, if you're in the know, you do know that the author of, or the person who kind of started the whole Lovecraftian stuff was a racist person, unfortunately. And they actually talk about that in the show. So it's interesting that we get a show dealing with racism that kind of flips that on its head. Very, very interesting. So I wanted to kind of give you a little bit of background. We're going to talk more about who these people are, what they're doing, and where they're going. But I just want to give you kind of like a basis of what's happening. We're only 2 episodes in, but we're only talking about the first episode today. And I feel like I've been talking enough, so I'm going to pass it over to Tess.
Hey, I'm just rolling off of you. I really can't, because I can't really talk. But no, I watched it, right? I was like, okay, I really need to watch this. I put it on, and the first scene out of the gate, I almost feel like I shouldn't actually say this. I don't want to compare it to Attack on Titan because it's a completely different feeling. But you remember how like you're watching Attack on Titan, and you're like, oh, okay, no, that took a while. No, this is like out the gate. It was like, oh snap, oh, because it's like the first scene is war. They're at war. Come on, son, run, soldier. Like it's an old war. It's like World War One stuff, I
Right.
think. And you're like, okay. And then he wants to jump out of the
The trenches or whatever.
trench. Yeah. And I'm like, and then he wants to start running. And then he jumps out of the trench. Okay. Your main character, Atticus, jumps out of the trench. He's running. And I'm like, dude, you about to get shot. There's literally bombs and bullets everywhere. The dude above you just got shot. Didn't he like pick up somebody else's weapon? Like, what are you doing? This ain't time for no heroing. Get down, boy, get down. And then there comes this light from the sky, and you're like, oh, so the aliens are here now. And that's when I knew I was watching something totally worthwhile, because it went from being a regular war scene, like the opening of Saving Private Ryan, but more Wonder Woman style,
Right.
very Wonder Woman-esque type of world war scene. And then the aliens come, and Jackie Robinson shows up and beats up an alien, and I'm like, this is amazing. Because I was totally drawn into what I knew was going on. I knew that we were dreaming. Like, I knew that this was complete oddity. Like, if you are having your own dream, you know that it goes from one scene to the next. Everybody knows our dreams are like 20 seconds, and even though they feel like hours, but you could be doing something and then you turn your body. As soon as you do something else, whatever happened before is gone, and now you're in a new scene. And that's how our dreams work. So as soon as this stuff kept happening, and I was like, well, this is too weird to be real. So I knew that I was in a dream. And on top of that, the cinematography was so well done for me. Like,
Right.
I appreciated it because it didn't feel cheap. Because you can watch stuff sometimes and you know it's a dream, or they tell you it's a dream, and then you're like, okay, this is cheesy, because it's overproduced. Or you'll watch something that's underproduced and you're like, this is cheesy. Or you'll watch something that's honestly, it just feels like the camera never changed and we're supposed to be in a dream. At least make me feel like I'm in a dream, because I know that my dreams are way more vivid than real life.
Right.
So do something. And they checked all the boxes. Lovecraft Country checked all of the visual boxes in that sequence in the episode. And then next thing you know, the main character wakes up just like that. So I was enthralled. I was impressed, because I was just like, okay, I need some weirdity in my life. I was just watching Berserk like 2 weeks ago. So let me go back to really weird things, monsters killing people, and somebody always making it out, because it makes no sense how Guts always manages to get away from these monsters. And now I'm watching this main character get away from the monsters. And I was like, okay, I needed this. Look at this black man running away from these monsters. Okay, yes, we can do it too. We can do it too. That's how I felt.
So then from there, because that was shot well, and then they go into like the real world, and that's when we start to learn about Atticus and the fact that he likes reading these type of, Lovecraft books and, the basically books that have you the character going on a journey, an adventure, fighting aliens, monsters, and basically nerd stuff, if we're being honest. Even though a lot of those books are revered because of how good they are, it's still nerd stuff. I mean, it's
Yeah,
if
total nerd stuff.
yeah, if you like Lord of the Rings, it's yeah. It's okay though. This is what we're here for. And so he's reading these things, and you find out, that he's heading back home. He's on a bus, and immediately this is when, things shift. We go from the supernatural, and then we slam back into reality because, this is 1950s. They're in the back of the bus as the camera pulls out. Because the way it's shot initially, you're just seeing Atticus and like another black woman, or a black woman, not another black woman. And they're talking, and because he's reading a book or whatever. And the camera pulls back, and then you notice like, oh, they're in the back of the bus. Well, the bus breaks down, and a car comes to pick up, or a truck comes to pick up everyone except for the black people. And so they have to walk. And when they walk, the black woman asked Atticus, like, what is he reading? He talks about he's reading basically a Lovecraft story, and the black woman, knowing who the author is like, isn't he a racist? He says something to the effect of like, black people are either not, I can't remember the quote. It doesn't really matter. He says something bad about black people, and Atticus says, the books are like people, you take some of the good with the bad, and you hopefully make it to most of the good. And she was like, that doesn't explain away the bad. The bad doesn't go anywhere. And he's like, no, it doesn't. And they kind of like walk in silence. And it's like, yeah, that speaks volumes for like life right now.
It
And
does. It
in
really
turn,
does.
and so there's some good writing in this sense. And I haven't read the book, so the in terms of like what they pull and what they don't pull, I can't really say, but I can say what I'm watching is captivating on multiple levels.
Appreciate it.
And then we get to why he's there. He meets up with, well, Courtney, actually, Uncle George, is we see him with his wife. I'm not going to get into what happens there. And George comes and interrupts, and we find out that he's back because he's looking for his dad. His dad has been missing, and he gets a note, and he explains like the note is telling him to check out his mom's heritage, where she came from. And immediately Uncle George is a little nervous because the place that he wants to go is a place that it hasn't been marked yet in terms of the Green Book, as well as the rumors and things that they've heard about that place. It's not a good place. It's not, for various reasons. What they eventually learn is, there's monsters and such. But before they get there's other types of monsters, and them being the racist, police officers they
White
bump into.
people.
Exactly.
Racist white people.
So while we're going through this, there's dialogue. There's interesting dialogue going back and forth between the characters. One of the things I'd like to highlight is George's daughter is an artist, and she draws comics for her dad when he goes on these trips. Because when he goes, he's out for however long, it could be months at a time, making these books, and then he comes home. And so she gives him a comic to read each time of superheroes that she's made up and things of that nature. And I thought that was really awesome. That might be, a small thing, but like the idea of family and what it means, how important this trip is and how dangerous it is. But yet they're still treating it as like, this is something that you got to do. And so we're going to support you in that endeavor. And these are one of the ways we're doing it. And I just thought that was really freaking cool. And, being an illustrator myself, I can definitely, that's something that definitely resonated with me. But then also the fact of being a dad and having a daughter myself, knowing that relationship, I thought that was pretty cool because he could have been like, you know what, I don't want to read your, I don't read your comics, or I don't want to, I got, I'm getting shot at, you know what I mean? But,
You can tell though, like you can tell how encouraging he is. Like I love how it was this big thing. He's like, "And where's my book?"
right.
It was so sweet and endearing, and I just loved it because even when his wife comes out and they have a little checklist. Do we have this? Do we have the first aid kit? Do we have the snacks? It was just such a family oriented thing, even though he's going out on his own. So I loved the support. You know, dad's gone for however long, but we support him. And then he also supports us by making us feel like we're part of this. And this little girl makes this book every time. I just thought it was the sweetest thing. It was very heartwarming.
Yes. And so they did a good job with that. And so, like, automatically you are rooting for Uncle George. You're rooting for Atticus. And then we see Letty. She comes in from out of town and she is, you know, met with, well, her sister's on stage singing and, you know, they have their, you know, I don't want to say everything that happens because I don't want to spoil it completely, but basically they have a chat and Letty's in town because she needs a place to stay. Her sister's not really feeling it. There's a bit of history here with them falling out. And when it came to their mother, apparently their mother wasn't necessarily a good person. At least that's what I'm getting. And one side of the family stayed in the area, stayed with people. The other left, mainly Letty, and tried to make something of herself away. And I feel like there's some resentment there, possibly because Letty usually comes back when she needs some money. And the fact that she missed her mother's funeral. So there's some bad blood, but what it amounts to is an interesting, a bit of tension and some cool dialogue. Because these are things that you need. We have to establish these characters. And so far the show is doing it in a way that I can identify with, being as a black person, and I can also identify with, because they're well written so far.
They are.
Mind you, this is the first episode, so I can't really speak on. I mean, I've seen it. It comes out on Sundays at 9 p.m. So I've seen the first two episodes, so I can't really say like holistically. But so far, they're doing a really good job, pulling away a little bit from the characters. I also like how it was shot, similarly to what you were talking about with the dream sequence. There's also some really interesting things that they do with light and color. One of the cool things they do is they know how to shoot black people, similar to Issa's show. Letty's sister is dark skin. Letty is light skin. However, both of them glow in the scenes that they're with, or they're, you know, with one another. Same thing with Atticus. The way they shoot the light, the way they position each character, so the light hits in a certain way, so that it's not muddled. Because especially with when you're streaming this stuff, it's the darks aren't really dark, or either they're too dark. You know, they gray out the scene. And that happened to me actually. Later in the episode, we'll get to that. But there are parts that are really dark and it's hard to see. But they were able to light them in a way that you can still make out these characters. You can still see what's going on. And I think that's really cool because outside of like, and granted, you would think majority of the industry kind of knows this already. There are some shows, there are some movies even that don't light us well. And I'm not talking about the ones that do it purposefully. Like, you know, someone shows up and it's dark and they scare the crap out of you. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about like there's certain, you know, films and shows where like, you have black people of different, you know, skin tones, and not all of them show up as well as the lighter skin ones. And that wasn't the case here. So kudos to Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams and, you know, HBO for that. They also have an interesting thing to do with, or I say interesting shots when it comes to color. I think red means danger. Something's about to happen because they use a lot of red when, you know, things go off the rails.
It's like typical horror. It's actually like, I don't want to say typical because the year is 2020, but it's like going way back in time to us being younger. And these colors are very similar to watching a Freddy Krueger or a Jason movie.
Right.
That's how I feel. When you like you're saying red, and I'm like, yeah, I remember that in Halloween or some other movie. I'm like, yeah, makes sense.
But these are, what's cool about this is that it's subtle. There's some ones, obviously, like when the monsters show up, that it's all red. But like there's certain points, like for instance, when Letty and Atticus, they're on the road with George, they stop to get gas, and you know, there's the kids that are making like monkey sounds and like being whatever. If you look at that scene, when the scene paints back to Atticus, the glow from the light from the truck stop or the gas station is red, and it's hitting him on that side where he's looking at the people. And then also in that scene, Letty has red lipstick on. She has red patterning in her shirt, and even though there's some of these elements were there before, it glows now, and so they're not necessarily in danger, but you feel tension, and you might not know why. Like it's obvious to say, like, you know, there's racist kids who are doing whatever, and Atticus wants to fight, so there's some tension there. But there's an underlining level of tension with color, how the color pops, and you're like, oh, red. Red means something. Like I'm feeling a way, and so these things kind of bleed into other scenes where you're not necessarily noticing it until it happens. One of the scenes was, you know, they're in the towns. And I'm actually gonna go forward and backwards real quick, but they're in the towns, and they're out on the road. Atticus and George had a, you know, a bit of a fight in the car. He gets out because he's looking for his dad, and they're driving in circles, and a police car is pulling up in the back. There are hints of red in this scene that I didn't realize until I went back. They're not really, you know, super bright or anything, but there's bits of red here and there, and it's like, oh crap. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's signifying something. And so that's genius. And you know, of course, Jordan Peele, you know, he's been doing awesome things with horror as of late. It just works.
It works
Although
really well.
even though he's not the director, the director is a black woman, and I just lost her name. Give me a sec. It
I
is
don't remember.
da-da-da-da.
I
Misha
definitely.
Green.
Oh, Misha Green, yeah.
She developed the series, and I believe she's also directing. Correct me if I'm wrong, folks. But
I don't know.
yeah, but obvious, like, you know, like you were saying, horror tells, you know, and stuff like that.
And thriller tells in a way, like not even just horror, but definitely nods to horror in the classic type. This is one of the reasons why I really do like this, is because it has these classic nods and it's like a mixture of horror and sci-fi, because like old sci-fi movies are similar. But it also reminds me of like watching The Great Gatsby when I was younger, because the old Great Gatsby with Robert Redford was very symbolic of color as well.
Right.
And that it was the individuals. Like there would be certain things like the yellow flowers or the red lipstick. And it was very like, okay, something's about to happen. And so I really do appreciate the artwork, because I feel like it gives nods to past what do you call past common practices in old movies that sometimes the more modern filmmakers will kind of just throw to the side. And so I
Right.
appreciate the artwork because it's like, a nod to the past.
I get it. You know, this is a Lovecraft story, and Lovecraft is all horror. So, psychological horror. So, totally understand that. But at the same time, it is a drama, too, because it deals with things outside of the horror element. And it uses those horror elements to further the drama. Because it's two separate things at one point, and then it kind of comes together. So going back a few takes, so they're out, you know, driving about, and they stop at a diner, and this is a tense and funny scene for me. They go
Amazing.
they go to the diner, they sit down, and obviously it's off, right? Because the, you know, the white people at the place are like, you know, what are you doing here, essentially? They go to order their food. Uncle, you know, George is like, you know, we're gonna sit. You know, we have a right to be here, blah, blah, blah. Atticus is like, well, you know, this is not on your book. And we can drive, you know, further down if we really need to. And, you know, so there's this idea of like, we could be safe, or we can kind of, you know, see how it goes. And, excuse me, like, that is something that I think resonates with me because of how we kind of have to be nowadays. There's this idea of like, where you know how like we don't want to victim blame, but then at the same time you want to be safe, and there's like this weird gray area where it's like, you know what, we shouldn't be in this town after dark, or we shouldn't, you know, if the if a police officer is saying you should comply. So there's a little bit of like, you don't want to victim blame, but then at the same time you're like, okay, I know that I'm black, I know that these people don't like me, and I know that they might want to try to kill me, so how do I handle that? And so them two butting heads slightly here resonates because of like, it's just what black people deal with, period. So just wanted to, you know, put a pin in that. And so Letty goes to the back, she goes to the bathroom. On her way back, she hears about, or she hears the guy that was behind the counter explain to someone on the phone, like, you know, there's black people here, I didn't serve them, you know, you guys might want to come over, et cetera, et cetera. So she's like, oh, it's time to go. And you know, Atticus is talking to George, and he's like, you know, he asked about one of their churches, I guess back where they lived, the all the walls were painted white when it was a different color. And he asked his uncle, like, why did they paint it white? There and he his uncle's like, you know, they tried to cover up something. And before he could finish, Atticus was like, they covered up scorch marks. And you know, he moves his foot and like the tiling on the floor slips, and there's it's scorched. So it's like, oh, there's been a, you know, basically there was an attack there. Someone, you know, probably black people, got hurt while visiting this diner. Immediately Letty runs out. She's like, y'all get your asses up, we gotta go. And like they get in the car. And immediately we see you know, like I guess like firemen and like I guess because before this scene we they see them drive by a group of firemen just kind of chilling. They're you know in their truck and they're shooting at them, and like all hell breaks loose. And this is where for me, you know, it wasn't horror in the sense of like you know monsters, but it was tense because this is real. And so the thriller, like you were saying, the horror elements, this is what, you know, I'm on edge, and there's plenty of red in this scene. And so I'm like, oh my God, we got to get out. And again, the dialogue is great because Uncle George is like, you know, let me, you know, let me have the wheel, you know, let me drive. And Letty's like, if you don't get in this car, and you know, we got to go. And as they're driving, you know, he's like, woman, you know.
Woman. I mean, the way she drove that car, she put that car in reverse and was like, Negroes, get in.
But no, he's like woman. She's like, my name's not woman.
I just love how
Let's.
angry she like she's so good at that fire.
Yes. It's like, oh, what? Her. She's like, what is Letty's last name? Crap. It's
Dandridge, I think.
crap.
Dandridge.
Oh, Lewis. She's like, I'm Letty motherfucking Lewis. Like. So great. And so yeah, so they drive out. I'm not gonna say what happens because I don't want to spoil that part, but they drive out, and then you know they make it to Letty's brother's house, and this is a, you know, a safe place on their map. And they talk about the place that they need to go, because like I said, they're trying to find Atticus' brother while doing other things. And Letty and her brother kind of get into it. Atticus and her his uncle step outside. They kind of get into it. All of it's family based. You know, Letty and her brother are talking about, you know, their mother. George and Atticus are talking about Atticus's father and how he was abusive when he was younger, and how Atticus's father was abused when he was younger. And so that kind of strikes a chord. And so this theme of family is pretty big in Lovecraft Country. And it resonates here with us as well, because black people are very much about family. Even if they're crazy and dysfunctional, it's there's a sense of community with black people. Kind of regardless of where you're from, I've kind of seen where we can kind of feel something even though it's not directly tied to us or tied to our family. And that's the sort of thing that we get here with these characters, because even though like Atticus knew Letty when she was younger, and you know they kind of moved away and came back, there's still a sense of camaraderie there. There's still a sense of family there. And hearing the stuff that they overhear, it's like, It's tough. It's tough for anybody to hear people talking about some real stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so this theme kind of, and again, what it does is it centers the viewer and it centers us in these characters so we can care about them, which is a good thing. Because we want to care about them. They're cool. It
Yeah,
also,
they're cool.
right. It also makes things more tense later on. Because after this point, they drive out and they're looking for his dad. And like I said, they get out of the car. They're angry at each other, and a police car rolls up.
Yeah.
This scene was super tense because, the police officer gets the chief gets out. Now, they had already talked about this person because he is known for racist stuff. He had a bunch of, complaints. And unfortunately, those complaints were probably dropped because the people who made them never saw the light of day.
Exactly.
And they were warned about him. And so immediately when they see him, it's like, oh God. He gets out of the car, he has a shotgun, and he's like, this is not a place you should be, essentially. Especially, he tells them about sundown towns. He's like, have you ever heard of sundown towns? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, well, this is one of them. This is not a place you want to be. And they kind of get the drift, like, hey, he's going to kill us if we stay here. And so they get in their car after he makes Atticus ask him nicely. Oh, that's what it was. So Atticus is like, they're getting ready to get in the car, they get ready to leave, and Atticus stops and turns around and is like, is it okay to do a U-turn here? This was a trap. Because if they get pulled over, then there'll be, because it's closer to sundown, like the time is running out. And so if they get pulled over now, they can be stopped until sundown. And so he asks if he could do a U-turn, and the officer's like, oh, you're smart. You're one of the smart niggers, right? And he's like, you know what? This time I'll let you do it. And he's like, if you ask me pretty please.
Thankfully.
And that was rough for me.
Yeah, it
Like,
was.
I on like on everything, I just wanted him to be like, just take the gun. Just take the gun from him. But this was smart. It was smart on his behalf. He has
Yeah.
his uncle and Letty with him, and who knows, what could have happened and if he called for backup, that sort of thing. So despite his military background, it was smarter for him just to ask nicely. So they're able to do the U-turn and they drive off, but the cop is following them. And they're trying to make it to the state line before sundown. They have like minutes. And the tension ramps up here. Like, if you have anxiety about these sort of things, you might want to pause. Go get a drink, take a walk,
Take a walk.
do something else. And this is, and like I said, this is more, at least from the, everyone else I've been talking to on Twitter, this is the horror point of the, similar to Get Out, in a sense that the monsters weren't scary. This was what was scary, for us. And so the police officer is behind them, he's following them, he's bumping the car, and they're trying not to speed because, he could pull them over. And as soon as they cross the bridge, which is like the I guess the county line, they get through and they're like, yes, we made it. And there's police officers on the other side, and they get stopped.
Just
And
waiting for
it's like, oh, this was a setup. Like there was no way of getting away. And so the chief pulls up. He's like, basically, I got you. He brings him to the woods. It's dark, and he's like, there's been a bunch of break-ins, and you guys fit the description. So essentially, we're gonna kill you and, dispose of your body somewhere. And then that's when the monsters come out. These are the Lovecraftian, squid-like, creepy-looking things
Nasty.
from these stories, and they go about decimating people. Pretty cool. The blood looked a little fake in certain scenes, but for the most part, they were solid. A lot of practical effects. There was some, I think, some CGI. It looked decent to me. But there was a couple of scenes where you could kind of tell, like this, if you slowed it down a little bit, like, okay, this kind of looks, this is, it's a not on budget, but like, it could be better here. But for the most part, it gets across that you don't want to be in the woods after dark because of the racist white people and because of these monsters. Your body parts are flying left and right, and you know, Atticus and Letty run, and they totally leave Uncle George.
I was like, wait, how you gonna leave the old man? I was so upset.
I was like, bruh, like, really? Like, that's what we do?
I mean, at least he said, at least Atticus was like, where's Uncle George? Letty was like, run! If you don't run! Like, she was like, you and I are here. We need to worry about us. Uncle George is going to have to live to see another day on his own.
Well, yeah, because it was like, because the monsters were closer to them at that point. And so they get into, I think it's like a cabin or something, and they're pushing like dressers and things against the door. The police officers that are alive, they shoot through the door and they get in, and there's kind of a standoff, you know, because you have the racists on one side, Atticus and co on the other. And then we have Uncle George just kind of chilling in the forest on the ground while people are like screaming or whatever. And so he gets up and he's using his flashlight to, you know, shine his way, and he makes it to the cabin. And this is the part where it's like, kind of, you kind of have to let it go, in a sense. They use a lot of their book smarts. You know, they're, like I said, they're nerds, so they like these type of tales and whatnot. They use their smarts to kind of figure out what's going on to an extent. And so George realizes that the monsters don't like light, which is probably why they come out at night. And he likens them to vampires, because one of the police officers who's bit starts to turn into one of them. And there's a couple scenes like that where I'm like, really? You kind of just, you just knew this was going to happen? Or you just knew this is, like, I've read a lot of comic books, and I haven't, you know, I haven't ran into anything supernatural, but I don't necessarily think I'll be like, fam, that's Superman right there. See, you can tell by the cape right there, the big S, that's him. Like, I know, I read comic books. He's a good guy. Don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not how that works.
God.
Most people will be like, what you talking about? There's a dude flying. I'm like, no, it's red. He's wearing red. Fam, he's wearing red. It's Superman. No, that's not how that works. And so those are some things that you kind of have to like, just kind of go with it in terms of how they explain things and how they kind of come to conclusions very quickly. The outside of the racist stuff, like the racist stuff, we all kind of knew, like, haha, you're racist. The supernatural.
Out there.
Yeah, exactly. The supernatural stuff, though, it's like, oh, okay, you knew a lot all of a sudden. And granted, they read a lot of books. They're very well read, and so, you know, it kind of goes with the lore and you know, their backgrounds, whatnot. But there are some moments where I'm like, really. Really? You just knew exactly what that was? Okay.
He figured that out so fast. I was like, okay, no. Because I'm too scared to figure that out right now.
Exactly.
At least with vampires, you know what they look like. I mean, at least we've all kind of gotten the same idea that vampires are either going to look like Dracula or they're going to be sparkly idiots like Robert Pattinson. Like, we have some idea of what vampires are supposed to look like. And they look human enough, okay? So there's a certain level of fear that kind of goes down because at least they look like us. These things, on the other hand, look like nothing we've ever known.
Exactly. So
it was really, really interesting for him to figure out, oh, by the way, I think these things used to be human at one point because, you know, they got bitten by...
Right,
all of them maybe were human, but at least this one, some of them. And he's like, yeah, he's turning into one of them. Yeah, no, that was, I mean, I guess anyone in the situation would have been like, he's turning into something.
Yeah, something's wrong.
Something's clearly wrong with him. But it wouldn't have been so much for me. Like, if I was in that situation, I wouldn't have been able to really, really just say, oh, he's turning into one of them. It would have been more like, oh, you're affected and you're turning into something.
Or you're dying or something. Because, like, it took him a while to change, right? So, like, I would have been like, you know, what's wrong with you? And then eventually, like, oh, he's you know, he's a monster now. And then it's just, like, I can understand, like, if I reading like The Walking Dead and being like, there's a zombie over there, but
Uh-huh.
like not necessarily like he jumped a monster. It's not like he was like, this is a Lovecraftian monster from the certain dimension, the underground, the upside down from Stranger Things. Like, no, he was like, oh, vampires, yeah, that other monster, they're like them, and the Wendigo, yeah, they're like those guys. They bite you and you turn into one. Like, it could have been a guess. We could take that too, but it was still kind of like, that was real convenient. Deus Ex Machina type stuff. And we do see that a little bit too with Letty, who eventually leaves the cabin to go get the car, and she, she makes it thanks to the lights, the headlights or whatever, and then she, comes through the cabin and like runs through it right when the dude is, transforming. So, a little bit of luck and whatnot there. But it doesn't deter, it didn't deter me or like my entertainment level or me liking what I was seeing and things of that nature. Like, again, the characters, what's happening is interesting. The mystery surrounding those woods and how they relate to Atticus's family and all of that is really freaking cool. And I want to know more of that.
Me
Like,
too.
what exactly is happening there?
I want to know what happened to his mother. Remember early in the when he said, "Oh, I came to find out this about my mother." And or sorry, he said the letter said something about his mother. And remember Uncle George, his face dropped. He was like, "Oh, really? What's it say?"
Right.
And then when he was like, "Oh, my dad says something, something, something," and then like the relief came over his face. I was like, "What you? Uncle George is hiding something."
Yes,
He is.
Uncle George is hiding things, and if you've seen episode 2, you will know what they are. Episode 2 is like a freaking season finale. So much stuff happens. I was confused. I was like, is this the end of the show? Like, it really could have been. And I wouldn't have. All right, I guess I just have. It's only a 2-episode season. Okay.
Wow, we're gonna talk to Jordan Peele about this.
It's a lot. And that's why I kind of want to read the book to kind of see how it shapes up in that regard. Because, yeah, it's a ton of stuff that happens. But as far as episode 1 go, that's the gist of what happens. There's a lot of cool things in terms of dialogue. Character building, world building, even the Lovecraftian monsters are cool, and the fact that all the racist people died was pretty awesome.
I love that. I love that. It felt great.
It felt like it's like, oh, like it, I don't want to say justified, but like justified in the sense like you were doing something crappy, and now nature has done something to you. So that was pretty cool. The show or the episode kind of ends on a bit of a cliffhanger. You meet some new characters. There's a shadowy, group of white people that's been following this group, and you kind of see who they are as the episode winds down. One thing we didn't talk about was the music choice. They kind of switch, they kind of flip-flop from music that's like older to something that's more recent. Like, I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Well, they had hip hop, like the whole where the when they had the what's it called? The fire hydrant going off where the kids were playing in the fire hydrant because it was so hot and it had hip hop. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm really feeling it because Atticus is walking on the, down the street so hard, T-shirt and his pants. Looking all muscular and whatnot. He was snack. And it was in the background. He a snack. But and then they got some, older music, like for the time period. And then finding out that Raphael Sadiq is producing music, I was like,
It was a little weird with like hearing like Rico Nasty, I think it was Rico Nasty's song playing while he was walking, and it was like I didn't know if they were trying to pull a like this scene needs this particular song, so we're just gonna pull that, or if they were trying to paint the picture in the sense that, which is what I kind of came up with, was like this stuff has been happening since this time and it's still happening now. Because if it wasn't Corona, there's kids that would play near the fire hydrant today, there would still be racism today and racist cops today as it was back
Yep.
then, just slightly different. And so it was kind of like a way of bridging the gap with just musically. So I don't know what the intention was there, if he was like, you know what, this music just speaks to me, and even though it was made in 2019 or 2020, I'm gonna put it here, or if it was a way of signifying a bridging of the eras. Not sure. And you're gonna feel a way regardless. Like, you're either gonna like it or not. So far, I'm on, I don't know how I would feel if Cardi B just started. Like, if
It would be a little weird.
yeah, it would be a little weird, but so far I'm okay. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I am, and I definitely need to watch episode 2, and I need to get on that.
A ton of this is episode 2 is where the more the more weirder stuff happens, and like I said, it feels like a season finale. Like, yeah, a lot happens, and it's pretty good, pretty good. I feel like it's also a turning point for the show in the sense that episode 3, either you're gonna like it and you're gonna continue watching, or you're gonna be turned off. Because while I enjoyed episode 2, it did leave me scratching my head a little bit, and I felt like I need to read the book. Like, I was like, okay, I'm missing something here. I don't know if they're, because of the speed of which things happen, I don't know if they're skipping things that were important in the book, or if they were, this is just how it happens in the book, and then we slow down, speed up, that sort of thing. So I don't know. That being said, what is there is promising. There's a lot of mystery. There's magic, even, and people who do sorcery. There's the obviously the Lovecraftian monsters, and yeah, it turns into, it goes more nerdy, and I'm cool with that. I'm totally cool with that. So yeah, and you're gonna like this episode too. It, over there talking about snacks, you're definitely gonna like this episode. I'll give you that.
Yay. I'm so excited. And I know my man is even in it too. So I'm like, Tony Goldwyn's in this show. So I'm just happy all
So yeah, so basically, Lovecraft Country is pretty dope. It has a majority black cast, or at least in the major roles, and Jordan Peele, Misha Green, all the great actors and actresses—they're doing a solid job so far. The production is done really well. Shots, color, music, all done really well. And I think HBO has another, another solid one. The reviews have been a little mixed. Granted, I put a, sprinkle some salt on that, because I found that the people who were doing reviews were only allowed to see the first 5 episodes. I don't understand how, like, publications can review something and don't watch the whole thing. You only watched
Yeah, that's not
half.
fair. That's not fair at all.
Yeah, I was reading a review on, I think it's on Empire, and it was dope because the dude who was reviewing it was black, so shout out for that, because I feel like while you don't need black people to review black content, I think it would be nice to get black people, if you have them on staff, to check it out. But so he was able to review it, and he wasn't feeling it. But at the same time, if you look at, like, right under his name and the fact that it came from HBO, it says episodes viewed 5 out of 10. So it's a 10 episode series, only 5 are reviewed. So, like, even the positive reviews, I'm like, really though? Like, how do you review a season this way? Are you going to come back to it and change your score, or is this just how it is? Like, 5 episodes and it's done. Like, when I reviewed Raising Dion on from Netflix for IGN, I was given a pass to see all the episodes before it hit Netflix. So my review was encompassing the entire season. And so when I saw this, I was like, really? Like, just 5 episodes? Like, okay. Like, even if it's weird, if it throws you off, the other 5 might be great, and they might explain why certain things were, because there's been complaints about, like, certain characters show up and then don't come back, and I'm like, it's only 5 episodes. Maybe they come back.
Maybe they come back.
You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. So like I said, the reviews are mixed. It's mostly positive. I think it has like an 89 on Rotten Tomatoes. So
Okay.
I'm rooting for it, but I have to see the rest of the episodes. Like I said, it comes on at on Saturday, Sundays, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. So, you do the math wherever you are. And each night, I'm checking it out on HBO Max. It actually hits the app as soon as it turns 9 o'clock. And what's dope is it's not live, so you can skip and go back and pause and all that good stuff. Just be mindful that the darker scenes, depending on what you're streaming on, will be really dark. But
Yeah.
that's not the show's fault. It's just streaming.
It's just your device's fault.
Upgrade your phone.
Your phone. Don't try to watch it on a Galaxy Note 5 like I got.
Oh goodness, I need you to upgrade.
No, I need to be so far away from technology because you know what? My phone might be like hackable for certain things, but they also can't get me on some nonsense. All right. I'm just
True.
saying, my phone is old, and so I just can't do certain things and I'm limited. So if somebody wants to be like, hey, can you do this with your phone? I'm like, no. And therefore, I'm not useful in certain ways and I can be left alone.
That works. No
Everything
Zoom
I
calls
do
for
is
you.
BS. No, I have no money. I am not upgrading. I'm not about to be one of those people who is caught out here buying a $1,000 phone and paying 20 something, 40 something dollars a month extra on top of their service bill just so they can have the newest iPhone or the Galaxy Note 20. Dude, I have a Galaxy Note 5. How are there 20 more?
Yeah,
Like, that's not the thing.
they just skip numbers. That's what we do.
I know they do.
I
Terrible.
don't, but I have a eight. I have a S8, and it still works great. So I'm not gonna, upgrade or anything if I don't need to.
No.
But yeah, I need the streaming to work well. I need to be able to see my shows,
Yes.
and that's one thing. Because that happened with Game of Thrones season 8. For a lot of people, it was mad dark in that battle
Well, that
episode.
was their fault. That actually had nothing to do with anybody. Like, I have a 4K TV. All right, I've got HBO on my TV. I have all my apps on my TV. I have Chromecast. I have my Xbox. I have all that. And I have cable. Like, my TV is it's the shit, everybody, okay? I just have to let people know. My TV's the shit. It is. It's a Sony and it's the shit. I paid a lot of money for it. I didn't pay a lot of money for it. Some other people paid a lot of money for it and then I got it for free. No, I paid for that TV in my blood, sweat, and tears, but that's not today's topic. Anyway,
Right.
I have a great TV, okay? And I was sitting there messing with the color. I was like, it's really dark. And I thought it was my TV settings. I was going through all of the Bravia settings. Okay. I'm sitting here like, man, I should have gotten a Magnolia TV. No. Okay. That was not necessary. And then all the Game of Thrones people want to come out and say, yeah, that wasn't your TVs, guys. That was the way we shot it. So it was y'all's fault.
I don't know,
Thanks.
because like some people said that they could see clear,
They
and
were
like
lying.
I couldn't. I definitely couldn't.
No one could see clear. Anybody who says that was straight lying, or they spent $12,000. They got that TV off of that Samsung TV that was on Amazon for $40,000. That clear TV or something, or the one that people were selling their children into white slavery for.
Oh my
Like,
God.
it was a $60,000 TV on Amazon, and people were reviewing it. And they were like, oh, I had to sell my daughter into white slavery just so I could get this TV. And
That's
then other
horrible.
people were like, I mortgaged my house 6 times and I got this TV. It's the best decision I ever made. Plus, I divorced my wife and I don't need her nagging me anyway while I can change my channels from like the other room. Like, anyway, my point is, there is not one person who was able to see that episode in the way that we got to see other season episodes. It was poorly shot. And anyone who says that they saw it and it was perfect is lying or they have astigmatism.
Well, there you go. I didn't know about white slavery. That's a new one for
It's not
me.
real.
I feel you. It cost a lot, was the gist. But yeah, so that just be mindful of that. This is shot, I think, shot better because it wasn't completely like darkened. Like I could make out people and stuff like that. But there was a couple scenes that were a little dark, and you know, depending on what you're streaming it on, my S8 did fine for the most part. If you have a dope TV, it'll probably look even better. So just kind of be mindful of what you're streaming it on. But other than that, HBO Max, man. We're not
Yeah.
getting paid by for that or anything. I'm just
At
having
all.
I'm having a good time streaming right now. So definitely check out Lovecraft Country, if you like what we talked about. And beyond that, you should subscribe. You should subscribe so you can listen to more of us talking because it's good for
Yes.
you. It's like, you know, vegetables on your plate or something.
Exactly. It's good for your soul.
Right.
We try
And
to be here for you.
facts. And so you definitely want to subscribe, hit the notification bell so you know when other shows or other content that we have is going up. Side note with that, a few shows haven't been going up. Well, mainly the Uno Night. One of the hosts on that got sick, and so we had
No.
to. We only were shooting or you know doing that show every so often, anyways. And so he had gotten sick. He is better now. It wasn't the corona, from what I've heard. And so we will be starting it up eventually. I'm not sure if it's gonna be. It's going to be sometime in September. I know that. So if you were looking for that for the Uno Night show, that's why that wasn't going up. We did do the more Saturday night streams. We did another Fall Guys episode, and that was hilarious, like always. So check that out. We stream every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern. And there's a bunch of other stuff that goes up. So, you know, you want to subscribe. Also, share. If you like what you hear, share. Eventually, we're going to be on in different other, you know, places, whether it be Spotify or I'm not sure what Google is doing for their podcast anymore because Google Play is going and that's turning into YouTube or it's being morphed or pushed into YouTube Music. I don't know if the
Is
podcasts are
it?
going there. Yeah, Google Play is dying this year.
What? I just put $25 on my Google Play balance.
Yeah, the good news though is that all of that stuff transfers. A few things don't in terms of licensing when it comes to streaming because certain licenses YouTube wasn't able it's the same company. I don't understand why they can't, but the certain licenses for certain songs don't transfer. However, if you bought music like me, they do allow you to transfer it all over to the YouTube Music app. And I've been using it recently, and they've incorporated some of the Google Play stuff into it. It's not as good as Google Play, but I can see it getting there because it has improved since I've been using it. So that's good. But
I'm just
yeah.
mad. I don't like spending any money on YouTube. I'm like against it, and now I have to just like bring myself to this. Anyway, I'm done.
Well, the good news is it is a separate app from the YouTube app. Like I have a YouTube app on my phone for like videos and stuff, and then I have the YouTube Music app, which is basically the streaming side of things. And it's pretty solid so far. Again, I would like for Google Play to stay. I liked being able to put something in my, you know, like on my computer here and have it on my phone somewhere else. That was an extremely cool feature. That not everyone has. I know Apple, you can, you know, you can move stuff around and it'll copy and all this good stuff. But it was super easy to drag and drop and just be done with it. And I have my entire playlist, I have all my music in one place, and it's not directly on my phone because it's streamed. So yeah, it's dying unfortunately. So but that's
No.
2020 for you. But yeah,
That's good.
definitely subscribe. Definitely let us know what you liked. What you didn't like, if you want us to talk about, you know, a particular show that's happening. We're doing this thing where we spoil the first episodes a bit because we figured you would watch that and then watch the rest of it. No one likes the ending to be spoiled. Maybe the beginning of the books, but no one likes the ending. You don't like to know who did it, you know? So if we're going to spoil something, we figured it'd be the first episode or at least the whole season because at that point, it's been long enough that everyone should have seen it. If you're upset that we spoiled, you know, Insecure, the last season, that's on you. Like, you should have watched
Yeah.
it or at the very least avoided that episode because it's in the title. Like Loki spoil or you know spoiled was the title. Like it's in there. So yeah, that's on you. Beyond that though, we tell you we're gonna spoil some stuff, and it's typically the first episode. But again, let us know. You know, I've heard
Yeah.
a couple of you liked the shows. You know, where we talk about TV shows. So you know, we might look into doing that. There's a ton of content right now. We don't got anything else better to do than to stream and play stuff. So yeah, we're definitely gonna be doing that. Outside of that, check out the website unitedfrontgaming.com for new reviews. They're going to be going up soon. Follow us. We have the description. You know, it's all of our follows and socials are in the description. And we will see you next. Well, actually, I'm not ending it. Tess is because I don't do it well. So yeah, that's all I got.
Anyway, yeah, so everything Kenny said, and then everything that I typically say every week, wear your mask, wash your hands and your butts. Don't be a dick. Just eat your vegetables, subscribe. We love all of you guys. Clearly, you can hear Hermione in the background. She obviously loves you all too. And that's pretty much it. So I'm gonna say bye-bye, even though I sound funny saying it tonight. So bye-bye.